This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
You are here with Checkpoint. My name is Omi, and right now I am joined by local Melbourne musician and game developer, the amazing Johnny Galvatron, whose video game, The Artful Escape, will be out on Xbox and PC by the time you're hearing this. It's a psychedelic musical journey of epic proportions. Hi, Johnny. How's it going?
Pretty good. I like the preface of the amazing. Thank you. That's super interesting intro. And I dug it. How are you?
Yeah, really good. I'm super excited to talk to you about the game. I played it through. It's fantastic. It goes so many places, and I think people are really going to enjoy it. So it's releasing as a recording in a few days. How are you feeling about it at the moment?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, we're in lockdown right now. So the game went gold kind of on the Friday, and we got in the snap lockdown that day. And I've just been home ever since, kind of looking at the wall. Like we worked on this game for, you know, so many years, for 300 years, and then to finish it, and then just to kind of have to walk into the living room and sit down has been like super weird. But it's nice talking to lots of different people in press, and I got paid the whole time through COVID, so I'm one of the lucky ones. I don't really have anything to complain about. There's a lot of wall staring going on. That's how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, look, the shining light is that we're in lockdown, but we had the chance to play this game. And I think people are going to be really excited to play it. As a musician, like from your past, you started as a musician. You've gone through that. You went touring. You did all that. Now you're making games. How did you come to that decision to be like, hey, I want to start making games?
I know, I've always been a big gamer since the Master System, which dates me.
That's not that long ago. Don't worry about
isn't it. All right, that's okay. So the Master System, and I mean, when I was touring and stuff, I was actually writing video game reviews for some newspapers in Melbourne, and then just always kind of drawn my whole life and written stories, and just one of those people who likes to lock themselves away and make stuff. And then I wanted to be a rock star for a while and managed to get that to happen somehow. Some weird, in this dimension, for some reason on this one, I got to like get paid to be like a weird glam electro rock star for a while, which was hilarious. And but there's a song on our album, which is called Robots Are Cool, which is about like the kid who's going to grow up to be like the Kubrick of video games. Yeah. So I've always been like, I've always been a gamer. So when I finished touring, came home, I wrote a novel, and I spent 5 years on it, and I never showed it to anyone. And then I've been into indie gaming that whole time, and kind of felt like I could see a road where I could get something made using my audio knowledge and music knowledge, and taught myself Unreal Engine because it's free off YouTube. Now I was broke, and I sent a little video to Unreal.
Yeah.
And I said, because they were giving grants, and I was like, is this kind of what you're looking for? And they were like, no, in between email, they just sent me another email that said, here's $20,000. I was like, I couldn't believe it. And that's how I, that was the road that started me into game development. And probably some arrogance as well, just thinking that I could waltz in.
Well, I mean, you've done a really great job, that's for sure.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, no, I mean, by the time this comes out, my review will be live on Checkpoint. So if you're listening and you haven't seen it, please go have a look. I won't spoil too much about it because you need to read it for yourself, but it's good. As a musician, though, obviously this game has a lot of musical elements to it. It's about a teenager who has a lot of expectations and a legacy to live up to. He's a guitar prodigy. He wants to find a new place for himself and reinvent himself from folk to a crazy space epic guitar legend, basically.
Yep. Yeah.
Francis Vendetti is this character. Where did you start with writing Francis? Was it sort of a bit of autobiography in there, or was it completely just creative idea?
I think I started with the concept more, with this idea of making a fantasy mm-hmm. rock and roll experience, which was the, you know, the opposite of my rock and roll experience, which is, you know, touring RSLs in regional Australia. So I wanted to do a really crazy, epic space adventure. And then the characters kind of come from that. You know, I've written stories since high school, and I guess I just read a lot as well. So I think mm-hmm. it's just informed from, you know, all those gajillion novels and films. I think, you know, a lot of artists feel that kind of expectation. Any going into any creative field, there will be people too who tell you you're wasting your time. So I think most creative people or people who have tried to do anything that's a bit left of center would associate those feelings with what's happening with Francis. And that kind of living in the shadow of his uncle was something that kind of grew as we worked on the story. And I think, I thought it was going to be the kind of the satellite aspects of Francis's persona that was going to like bring the story to life. But it was actually just like kind of his relationship with his uncle and his destiny that I think mm-hmm. made the game sing on that narrative level.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you talked about how he lives sort of in the shadow of his uncle, who is sort of like this Bob Dylan-esque.
He's quite Bob Dylan.
Yeah, quite Bob Dylan. But it's so much so that he crafts this new persona. And there's obviously a bit of a theme of imposter syndrome in there. Is that something you wanted to importantly touch on at all?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of imposter syndrome in the industry. Mm. I think, you know, people feel that on different levels. This is so silly to say. I don't feel like I have imposter syndrome. I feel like I always feel like I should be there. So I'm like the opposite of that. That's, a blessing and a curse. But I think, especially with music, I guess.
Yep.
His music seems to have had its heyday. It might come back, don't get me wrong. And there's equally as amount of talent around mm-hmm. today as there have been at any time of music. But like, how can there be another Led Zeppelin? You know, they are Led Zeppelin are gods, you know, like, you could be as good as Led Zeppelin, but you could still never really hold that place in contemporary culture of what they are. So I guess there's a little bit of that, talking about that as well. How can you do it? Make video games. That's the answer.
Well, who knows? Let's see what The Artful Escape does in a few weeks' time when people play it. But there's a potential for something like this to happen in games as well. It happens all the time. You know, Artful Escape could be one of those games.
Maybe. That would be lovely. I think it's definitely it's closer to the frontier gaming, isn't it? It's like, it's just a wild land still to be explored. It's great. It's a great time and place to be.
There's a lot of places we can go with games. It's all about that creativity, which Artful Escape definitely has. So we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I think just with Unreal and like, you look at like Lumen and Metahuman and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time for games because people like me who wouldn't have had the know-how to make games, suddenly it's more accessible. It's kind of like when recording studios went from, you know, these dimly lit expensive cocoons to people's bedrooms. It's like a weird transitional times. And that like that transition in music really influenced how music sounded. So I wonder if this transition, you know, from the studio to the bedroom will give birth to something new and interesting that we don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, even in the last couple of years as well, of how everyone's working from home, stuck inside their bedrooms, like you said, we've seen, not only in music, but in games, heaps of albums and interesting ideas in the games industry coming out. And I'd argue that this year has been better in indie games than it has been AAA games, just because of that level of people being able to stay at home and work solo or in small teams on things.
It's been a good year, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's the list of endless indie games that have been wild this year are great. And I think on we do a yearly top 10 list. And I think like at least half of them are going to be all indie games. So it's going to be fantastic to see. But talking about indie, obviously you're working with Annapurna on this game, which is fantastic. They're like the A24 of video games, basically.
They are, aren't they? I feel like I'm like sitting with the cool kids at the back of the bus.
It's a little bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how did that deal come to be? How did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them?
I did a Kickstarter, which I used my Epic money to get going. And it didn't go through. And we were talking, we'd already been talking to Annapurna, and they were like, had a couple of meetings. And then Nathan called me one day and said, are you going to be at PAX? We were like, yeah, no problems. We've got a table, got a demo ready to go. We'll see you there. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a table or a demo at all. So we had 3 months. So I called in my last favors, got a, like one of the last tables at PAX. We built the demo in 3 months. I think we were up for 2 or 3 days, pretty much straight before the first day. And Annapurna rocked up at like 10 a.m. on the first day, sharp, and played the game. And they took me out for lunch the next day. That's how we did it.
That's a good sign when they take you out for lunch.
They take you out for lunch. You're like, yes!
This is it.
Victory.
And yeah, through that deal, you've been able to work with like some crazy voice actors from like blockbuster movies. So, I mean, the big one is obviously Carl Weathers. The magnificent Carl Weathers.
Amazing, huh? I still can't wake up every morning and I still can't believe he's in it.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Strong, Lena Headey, Jason Schwartzman. Mm. What was it like working with these huge Hollywood actors? Were they great to work with? Did they bring like experience on like their movies and TV shows on the board? Like, how did that go?
Totally. I think working with all of them, those kind of names you've said and all the other like voice actors, like they're just so pro and like just want to give you what you want and get it right. And everyone was so kind and lovely to me. Like, my first ever voice session was with Carl Weathers. Mm-hmm. So I was terrified that he was going to yell at me. But he was just so lovely. And Carl like changed a lot of lines. Like I never wrote like Young Blood or any of those babies or anything he says like that. That's just him adding them to the screenplay. And it was just like so cool. Cause I just told him like some of the musicians that Lightman was based on.
Yeah.
And he just starts like bringing out this kind of character and adding all the Young Bloods. So that was just like super cool. So he definitely like brought his A game, I think, and like was really into it and just helped me so much. Mm. Lena Headey, she was like just ran through like 15 accents and was just like, well, you know, which one of them would you like? I was like, oh, I'll have that one.
Take your pick.
Awesome. Yeah. And you know, Jason Schwartzman like brought in all these props, like he had like all these hats and like an umbrella and a little synth and a cape, and he would do the take one way, and then I'd like say, oh, how about we try this way, and then he like flip the cape around and put the umbrella up and try it that way. Yeah, and like Mark Strong was like doing these like hilarious like Shakespearean takes and stuff, and I was like, I want you to be like an actor, like a Shakespearean actor who's at the end of their career and is on Star Trek. He's like, yes, I get that, and he's like got the aura, Mark Strong for sure. Yeah, and oh, what an experience! I remember it for the rest of my life. It was crazy.
Yeah, I imagine you would like working with some crazy names like that. I know, yeah, I know. From like anyone would probably be like, I'd never work with. Yeah, have the chance to probably even speak to these people one day. And here you are making games with them. It's wild.
Can't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just kind of like, yeah, I guess at some point in your life, you realize, you know, you're probably not going to be an amazing film director, you know, and you go, well, I probably won't hang out with these people. And then you get to through video
happens.
Games.
It just happens out there.
What a stuff. It's pretty great.
So you've also worked with some pretty amazing musical talents. For context, if somebody doesn't know, you're from Melbourne, you're a local dev. Mm. You've also worked with Josh Abrams to pull together a pretty outstanding score as well. And Josh is known for some crazy like EDM stuff from early 2000s.
Yeah.
Late 90s
Addicted
as well.
Addicted to bass.
Yeah, that's the one I know.
He's been in the game for years. He's made some of the music in the game is like stuff he made in the 80s when we just took off his.
Yeah.
Like, his old tracks, the hover car theme, it's like just some track he made in like 80, mm-hmm. 88 that was never meant to see the light of day. And I'm like, I'm taking that, putting that in the game. Yeah, Josh Abrams, I've worked with him my whole musical career. He rocked up at my door one day, said, I hear you making some weird Van Halen shit. I was like, I am, but why is Josh Abraham here? And he did my demos that I got a record deal off, and we did some songs for Carl Cox one time. We did all sorts of weird stuff. And I finally got to pay him. Finally got to give him some money.
He did all that for free.
Get him on the books. Like earlier in my career, I paid him for the demo.
Yeah.
But for years we just made music for fun. And
it's the best way to do it.
Yeah, and he helped me get the initial music up for the demo for no money, and then I finally gave him that paycheck, put him on the books. One of my life goals.
Yeah.
Pay Josh back. So that was awesome. And we also worked with Eden Altman, who played all the guitar.
Yep.
Absolute wizard, plays all those different styles throughout all the worlds, and then plays as the Lightman as well, plays his like blues stuff, which is a completely different vibe. And just dude can wail, and he's great to work with.
I mean, throughout the game, you're basically holding X the entire time because...
Is that how you played?
That's how I played it. Mainly played that. And then I think towards like the end, I was like, I really could have listened to Josh's stuff as well in the background, because all I can hear is a total meld of them both. But it works so seamlessly as well throughout the game, having both that electric guitar and that sort of visual electric track.
Yeah, I honestly can't believe that worked. Like, it works on paper because, like, in music theory wise, it should work. But I, it's kind of like, do you know Dark Side of the Rainbow?
Yeah,
heard of that? Where you play the dark side of the moon and watch the Wizard of Oz at the same time, and they match up.
Yeah,
And that's kind of an auditory version of that. It's just like your brain looking for pattern recognition. Your the guitar will, do a counter harmony to something. You're like, well, that's perfect. That's exactly what was meant to be there. But it's like, it's just all chance how it works. Just make sure the music theory is right. It blends together. When we tried it, I was like, God damn, I didn't expect that to work so well. Because it's like same kind of riffs that go over like, some jazz in the caves or, like that wondrous big band, the Syncalypso. So, yeah. Stoked the guitar.
Is that sort of how the game started as well, from a concept? Was it sort of, did you have a platformer first and you had wanted to intertwine these musical elements, or did you have this narrative first and you wanted to tell
the
narrative story?
The concept of like making a stage persona, and I knew I wanted to put guitar in it as well. It was just kind of had to be. And it had to be 2D because I couldn't make 3D models and I was just putting my drawings in the game. It was a necessity.
Yeah, I mean, it's an art style, and you made it pull together so well. Who helped you there with like creating all these fantastical, otherworldly space backdrops? Because like the worlds are so... When I moved from Calypso into outer space, I was like, okay, this is wild. Like the first part when you're like on the pink neon roads, and then you go to the Cosmic Lun, which is like, for anyone who doesn't know, is like a... What would you call it? Like a spaceship / bar?
It's a Bruton Tootin convoy.
There you go. Straight from the game.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's like a little hotel with a couple of nightclubs and an opera, a stolen Austrian opera house.
Yeah. And then you move from there to a few other planets and worlds, and every time you go to a new one, you just can't imagine what it was there. Like, I don't know how you come up with these ideas, but yeah, who helped you build those worlds? Like the art designer, the creative, who did that with you?
I was the art director.
Yeah.
And all the illustrations in the game, except for the ones that are meant to look poorly illustrated, which I did, are done by Arden Beckwith, Melbourne Rock City. That's her, a testament to her talent and skill, the visuals there.
Yeah.
And she drew everything, every tree, every leaf, every character, every monster, an absolute paragon of artistry, Arden. And that's mixed with Mikey's 3D stuff. Mikey works at like 3x speed. He's bizarre to watch. He looks like he's in fast motion. he built Calypso, with this amazing system of how we could make the buildings and replicate them in this kind of wonderful scene, and all the landscapes, the mountains, the rocks, the snow, everything. And then Harry, who's a kid we got fresh out of uni, nabbed him as he walked out the door, and the kid's a prodigy, and he did a lot of our set dressing. And then we also have Tess Monash, who did all of our animation and like did that, invented that style of like popping out the characters so they would catch the light and doing that kind of molded 2.5D. Yeah. Just what a team. I can't believe I felt like I assembled the Avengers.
It does feel a bit like that, doesn't it? But it's like the best outcome you could probably get, having all these different people put all their ideas together to create such a original piece of gaming and art.
Oh, thank you.
No,
experience. It was just like a privilege to work with these people, a privilege to get money to make my idea, and you know, consider myself very lucky for sure.
Yeah. With all that art, do you have plans for like an art book? Similarly with the music as well, do you have plans like a soundtrack to come out? Because I know
the soundtrack's going to be on... Yeah, the soundtrack's going to be on Spotify, and I think you can get it on Steam as well.
Oh, fantastic. You'll let me know personally. And,
yeah, I'll let you know. And art book, I'm not sure. See if people like the game.
I think they will. Cool. But I'm just one person, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a bit about the themes again about, you start off with this sort of theme of the legacy and, you know, finding yourself, but you can definitely make some parallels between, coming out, being trans, sure, understanding ideas, yep, like that. It's particularly with, there's several parts throughout the game where you sort of build your own personality into the character Francis. So yeah, whether that's, you know, choosing your name to start with, and then you get to choose your clothes. And there's that really, really funny talk show part as well. And you have like this...
It's one of my favorite bits.
Oh, it's fantastic. Was that sort of an idea you had when making the game? You're like, hey, we're going to tell this sort of subtext as well. Or is it something that just sort of naturally came?
I think that when you draw inspiration from people like, you know, Bowie and Grace Jones, those ideas seem to come out because the reference material is so much about, like, you know, if you look at Bowie as someone, as an artist, but also a cultural movement and a normalizing and a mainstreamity of, if that's a word, of acceptance of the different. And of what all the spectrum of what we can be and who we can be, how we want to represent ourselves. So I think when you draw from inspiration and people who have helped people on an individual, personal, emotional level, that hopefully some of that carries through into the game. And yeah, I think it is. You can draw those parallels absolutely of becoming who you want to be under societal expectations. So we have got that feedback quite a bit. I think that's lovely. I think that's fantastic. I'm glad we've captured a little bit of that Bowie in there.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to resonate, particularly with our audience as well, with Joy. I think a lot of people who play this game are going to play it and then maybe even work out some of their own personal issues while... Wow. Experiencing it, just because they have that opportunity to see what Francis is going through, have these points in the game that where they can make a change to express themselves in their own way, and then after playing the game make small steps outside of it to, you know, that, become who they want to be.
That would be lovely. That's a lovely sentiment. And I think also I'd say the character customization is quite broad. And you can really make who you want to make, I think. There's a bit there for everyone. And that was another testament to our art team.
Yeah, I remember playing around with that for maybe an hour or two.
Really?
Yeah, cool. It might have been like a good chunk of my playtime time just messing around the customization. Yeah. So
I think it's a good one. I love the trinary color stuff and the gradient color stuff you can do. It's super cool.
Yeah, I made like a... super death. I'm into death metal, so I made a death metal guy. I was like, I have to make it. I saw the face.
Did you do the black and white face paint?
Yeah, I had to do that, and then I made my partner because I saw the hairstyle was the same as hers. She has like a mullet. I was like, I can make my partner. I took a photo of it, and now she's using it on like as like an icon for like Instagram and stuff.
Yes, I'm so interested to see the characters that people make.
Yeah, I'll have to send it to you later. It's pretty funny.
Please do.
It's
send
like,
it to me.
Pretty close. Like it looks very, very similar. But yeah, having that customization.
And yours is Danny Filth.
Basically, that's right. No, I think yeah. I ended up going with a very nice, like, yellowish cream suit with, like, a button down and then some nice. Pit Vipers on. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that, but yeah, they look like Pit Vipers. Yes. So I think, moving on, I wanted to ask some quick fire questions.
Do it.
What are your favorite games, and did they any of them inspire the Artful Escape?
Kentucky Route Zero is one of my favorite games. Definitely yeah. inspired the Artful Escape. I think the way that it delivers its dialogue as kind of a framing of how you perceive the scene rather than a narrative branch, yeah. I think is really fantastic. I really like some of the design in Oxenfree. I think you can mm-hmm. see that. And Night in the Woods I really like. I think yeah. you can see that kind of storytelling. I really like this game that came out recently called Post Void. It has no influence on my game whatsoever, but it's glorious. Play it. God, it's like a punch in the face. I love it.
What's the first thing you'll do when the game comes out?
Sob and drink a beer and speak yeah. to all my team on Discord.
Of course. Do you have any plans of what you're working on next? Will it be new music, new games?
Another game.
Already in the works or...?
Already in the works.
Ooh, exciting. Can't wait to
do it again. If this one didn't kill me, I'll do it again.
No, I'm sure we're all going to be looking forward to that.
Cool.
Now, a bit more local stuff. What's your favourite Melbourne band?
Yeah. Who's my favourite Melbourne band? I really like the Scientists of Modern Music. I really like Art vs. Science as well. They're not from right. Melbourne, but
that's quite fun.
I toured with those guys a lot. Yeah, they're my favourite Australian band, Art vs. Science. They're cool kids.
That works. That's fine. Favorite album right now? What are you listening to?
Oh, I just listened to Donda, but it's not my favorite album. I've been listening to tons of Robert Goulet.
Right. Okay.
my favorite, my all-time favorite album, I think, is "Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness" from right. my teenage angsty years by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. what's your favorite game to play when you're down?
I like to just ride horses around in games with no objective. So
right,
that could
okay.
be Red Dead 2, Ghost of Tsushima.
And last question.
I also kind of like car racing games because I like to add my own narrative. So I like to like add my own little story in my brain of what's happening during the car race.
Right.
And that, I find that quite relaxing.
That's an interesting one. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that before. Especially with car races. Wow, I might have to try that one day.
Come up with your own story. Your family's in the crowd. It's your last race. Do it.
Last question I got for you is, what's the first thing you're going to do when we're out of lockdown?
I'll probably try and head... this is the city from my window. I'll probably try and hit most pubs on the way. So I think the first one's like the Royal Standard, and then I'll have to branch off down into the city. That's my plan.
Thank you so much for speaking with me, Johnny. I really, really appreciate your time today.
No probs. It's been great to be here.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to be really excited to play the Artful Escape. And then once they finish it, they're going to be even more excited to play it again.
Cool.
The Artful Escape releases on the 9th of September on Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One.
Yeah.
Also on PC and launching first on Xbox Games Pass. Anything else you wanted to add?
I hope you find the game a little bit wonderful.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.